Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Penny Hardaway, the superstar from University of Memphis, is a basketball player and great in the NBA until his knee injury derailed his career. Now a coach at the University of Memphis and a recruiter supreme. Everybody wants to play for Penny, so he gets the top talent. And he doesn't like what's going on with the G League. Is there a sound of this, Rob, or just it's just a print? Okay, I'm going to read it. This is from what he told the Memphis Commercial Appeal. For me, I didn't think the G League was built, and I could be wrong, to go and recruit kids that want to go to college out of going to college. I thought they were going to be the organization that was going to be, if you want to go overseas or you absolutely don't want to play in college, 100%, that this would be the best situation for you before you go into the NBA. But taking guys out of their commitments or they've already signed and continuing to talk to their parents, it's almost like tampering. I really don't agree with it. Where are you at on Penny's comments, Rob?
I think he has a point. The way it was first portrayed as an option for people who didn't want to go to college, but you're seeing people who had committed to go to college who now, when originally, Chris, it was 125, and now I guess they felt like, well, we can't get anybody for that, so they upped the money. I'm not mad at them, you know what I mean? But but they realized that wasn't going to get guys to stop going to college. You put 500,000, 300,000, those are different numbers. Those are way different numbers than 125. And I get where his point is. His point is, should the G League be going out and stealing recruits and taking people who have committed elsewhere? And obviously they were thought about college first, but now have been changed their mind because of the greenback. So I hear his point.
I think he's basically pulling a Calipari. I think he knows. He's in line. He had James Wiseman, who's could be the number one pick in the draft. And obviously only played three games because he had gotten some money for Penny when he was in high school. But I think Penny knows he could get some of the best players, and this is going to take those guys away from him. I don't see what's not to like. I mean, Penny, who I like a lot, but I think he can be great for these kids because he played in the NBA, and he can teach them all about that. However, for him to talk about, oh, these kids want to go to college, like to me, he's talking about it like we're robbing kids of their education. Come on. Come on.
I didn't hear him say that. Was that in the quote?
He didn't say, no, I'm just, that's
I'm
my,
just, I didn't hear that.
My perception.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
That's my perception of what he's saying. Because he's saying it, like, why else do they want to go to college? They want to go to college because they have to at this point. Some of them, not all of them,
yeah,
but some of them.
Some want to be big men on campus. Some want to play for schools that they used to watch as kids.
Well, if they want to do that, then they won't worry about the G League.
Right, but also,
that's the thing.
Chris,
it's not like they got to go
Chris,
to the G League.
They're very impressionable, and parents and other, you know, hangers-on and dealers or whatever you want to call them, right? These kids are very impressionable.
And Rob's if your mom, Rob G's got a quote. Go ahead,
yeah,
Rob
it's G. Later on in that article, Chris, you said, you know, hey, we got to get them to go to school, this kind of thing. One of the quotes he said, the NCAA just has to take some desperate measures to make these kids understand that we want you to come to college. Yeah, they really want them to come for that reason.
Well, okay, but that... Right. I've never bought into that. But I'm saying I think when you're a kid at that age and you have that kind of money dangled before you and you have a parent or whatever it is, Chris, parents struggling, need money, it's hard to look at anything and not want to take $500,000 or $300,000.
And what's wrong with it?
Nothing.
What's wrong with it? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
Because if they were graduating, if they were going for 4 years and graduating, I would get it. But they're not. They're going for a year. They're staying in class for a semester.
Some people are going back to college. I get it.
But right. And the guys that want to go to college, you can still go to college. Or you can take classes in the off season. It's not like, oh, they can't get an education. Everybody doesn't want to go get a college education. They just don't. And the guys that want to, they're free to do it. But to act like these one and dones, they're getting robbed of college, please. That's ridiculous.
I don't think that. I didn't get that from the initial quote. I didn't read the whole thing.
Well, he's talking to Rob. Who's he talking? He's not talking about the guy that's staying 3 or 4 years.
I think when the NBA first put it out, it was about those guys trying to go straight from high school to the league and having a landing spot. Because eventually, to me, they should just overturn it. The players, the older players, sold out the kids when they put it in the CBA and agreed with David Stern. So it was the players who sold them out. They used to be able to.
You mean, go straight from high school?
Yes, you used to.
Yeah, because a lot of the veteran, like a 37-year-old who was better than the 19-year-old fresh out of college, was losing his job to a kid that he can run circles around.
But there weren't that many kids around, Chris. That's not fair. How many guys were going from high school? A handful.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. It's time for 6 minutes.
6 minutes that your friends are on.
The Odd Couple debates, and you decide the winner. But there's a catch. They only have 6 minutes.
Yes, sir. The new segment, 6 minutes, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. These guys got really tired of my judging skills on the hot seat.
Yes.
So now we're inviting our Odd Couple listeners to be the judge, jury, and executioner as Chris and Rob are going to go head-to-head, 6 minutes debate. That's all they get, 6 minutes total. Each week, we're going to debate a different topic. Now, this week's topic, because, again, The Last Dance has been very popular, the documentary, and one of the big topics that came out from last Sunday was what happened with Isaiah Thomas and the Dream Team. So this week's topic, gentlemen, should Chuck Daly have refused to coach the Dream Team if he knew that Isaiah Thomas could not be added to the roster? Rob Parker, we're going to start with you. You got 2 minutes. Let's go.
The only thing worse than when bad people do bad things is when good people turn their heads and allow it to happen. What they did to Isaiah was wrong, was unjust, immoral. It was everything. It was terrible. And Chuck Daly should have not coached the Olympic team because of it. You want proof? Because Jack McCloskey, who was the general manager and was a part of putting together that Dream Team, the GM, resigned in protest when he realized what was going on with Isaiah and how they were going to snub him and disrespect his ability to be on that Dream Team. And Chuck Daly, he turned his head, sold out Isaiah for his glory to be the Dream Team coach. If he would have done what Jack McCloskey did, other players would have had to look at themselves in the mirror. And maybe Larry Bird would have said, you know what? That ain't right. And we shouldn't do this. We're supposed to be putting together the greatest basketball team ever assembled. And you know what? It won't be if Isaiah Thomas, who at that time was one of the top 3 or 4 players in the entire league, is not a part of it. And if that means hurting Michael Jordan's feelings or not having him on the team, Michael Jordan would have to be the one to this day to wear that and carry that he was the big baby who didn't want Isaiah on the team, and he'd have to wear that for his career. It would be a stain on his career instead of Isaiah Thomas's. Chuck Daly did an injustice, and he shouldn't have. Isaiah Thomas belonged. He should not have coached the Olympic team.
Isaiah Thomas did belong on that Dream Team. I totally agree. And I think Chuck Daly should have pushed hard to get Isaiah on that team. He should have went and met with Michael Jordan privately and said, look, I get it. You're upset with Isaiah. We know what he did, but he's a good guy. This can be worked out. He should be on this team. He could have went and got Magic Johnson, talked to him, talked to Larry Bird, talked to the three of them together. I do agree he should have pushed harder to get Isaiah on that team. However, the fact of the matter is, that each man has to stand on his own, what he's done with his own actions. And Isaiah Thomas, whether we agree with the overreaction or not, he did do things that had nothing to do with Chuck Daly that made those players upset with him. He walked off without shaking. He walked right by Michael Jordan without looking at him or shaking his hand. And that's what upset Jordan. That had nothing to do with Chuck Daly. Scottie Pippen, same thing. He walked right by Scottie Pippen. That's not Chuck Daly's fault. Other players on the Pistons shook their hands. Larry Bird. Isaiah did back up Dennis Rodman when Rodman said Bird wouldn't be that good if that hyped if he was a black player. Magic Johnson, Isaiah did something that messed up that relationship. Chuck Daly shouldn't have to pay for that. Chuck, every man stands on his own actions. Did Joe Dumars sell out Isaiah because he shook Jordan's hand? Did John Sally and Dennis Rodman sell out Isaiah because they went to play for the Bulls with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen after the Dream Team and helped them win more championships? No. Chuck Daly had a good opportunity. He could have fought harder, but he can't suffer for the sins of another man.
It ain't about suffering for the sins of another man. It's about what's right and what's just. That's why Jack McCloskey quit. You don't think he wanted to be the GM of the Olympic and the Dream Team? That's an honor. He quit in protest because he's a man of righteousness, of doing the right thing, of not letting to pick out Isaiah as if he's the only one who did anything to anybody or was wrong in any situation is totally unfair. It's not a popularity contest. It was about putting together the greatest basketball team. And Chuck Daly decided to take the easy way out. The easy way out, Chris, is to turn your head when there's been a shooting in your neighborhood and not tell the people what went on. That's not right. If good people can't do that. That's how we stop people from doing the bad things in this world. We need to stand up for what's right and stop playing God with people's lives. That's not our job, is to do the right thing.
Shooting in the neighborhood, stop it. This is a basketball game and a basketball team. Don't compare it to death. All right? Don't compare it to playing God. All right? This. What if you and I are buddies? You and I have built something big here with the Odd Couple. What if the ESPN or another network offered you a great opportunity and said, we don't want Chris Broussard, we want you. And it was great for your career, and you would have made a lot more money. It's not even fair for me to ask you not to take it. If you want to take it, you take it. That won't make me mad. That won't sell me out. You got a good opportunity. So this was Chuck Daly had a great opportunity. And again, he didn't do anything wrong. He could have fought for Isaiah harder, but it's not his fault that Isaiah had bad relationships with those guys. So that's what this boils down to. Each man stands on his own two feet and responsible for his own actions.
Wow. Some fire in that round. Man. I really appreciated that one, guys. Now, if I was the judge, you know who I would pick, but I'm not going to share. I don't want to influence the judges that we have on hold right now. Now, guys, I got five judges on hold at the moment. The first one to get to three is going to win, okay? So let's get started. Judge number one, we're going to start it off with Floyd in Charlotte. Floyd, who you think won that one?
No question. I'm going to have to go with Rob. Isaiah had given several championships to Chuck Daly and given him a great deal of notoriety. I felt like he sold his man out. I'm going with Rob in this deal.
There's one.
Let's keep it moving. Judge number two, Casey in Montana. Who you picking and why?
Man, that is Chris all day. You can't judge the coach for not coaching. You know, it's and players have rivalries all the time. Chris all day, man.
All right, 1-1, all tied up. Let's head to judge number three, Holden in Jersey. Holden, who you got and why?
My guy Holden. Rob on this one. I can't side with a guy who constantly defends the cheating Patriots. Come on, Chris. Stop it.
Hold on. Stop it. Make it on the merits of this argument.
He is.
Come on. He's talking about the Patriots.
Nah, that takes away your validity, Chris. Stop it.
That's two.
That's going to have to be a rule. You got to stand on the
Rob Parker is one away from victory. Man. We move on now to Mark in
this
Sacramento.
This could be the first time he ever beats me. If he
Mark, who you got and why?
I hate to say it. I disagree with Rob all the time, but he's right on this
one.
Rob Parker.
Man, I feel like Perry Mason. And if you don't know who he is, Google it. Yes, sir. The first edition of 6 minutes. I got 8 minutes. Wow.
I ain't paying for that.
I was robbed.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Interesting comments. You've heard of Ken Burns. He's a great documentarian, and film producer.
The great one on baseball. I mean, that's one of the best documentaries.
Oh, he's great.
If you haven't seen it, it really is
baseball,
good.
Jazz, he's done that as well. He's great at this. The Emmy Award-winning filmmaker. And he, Rob, is not impressed with The Last Dance. I don't know if you caught wind of this, but he said, I find it the opposite direction of where we need to be going. If you are there influencing the very fact, he's talking about Michael Jordan, of it getting made, it means that certain aspects that you don't necessarily want in aren't going to be in, period. And that's not the way to do good journalism. And it's certainly not the way you do good history. My business. So he's saying, look, I mean, we've talked about it. Michael Jordan has total say in this thing. Now, I'm going to say this first, Rob. I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying The Last Dance. I like it. It's given us something to talk about all week. And I'm enjoying watching it, even though there's no earth-shattering, things that we haven't seen before in it yet. And you and I covering the league at that time, we knew a lot of this, if not all of it. But I just think it's very interesting and enjoyable. But I can't disagree with what Ken Burns is saying. It's not going to be the ultimate documentary that we kind of heard it would be because Michael Jordan has control. So let's just put it out there on the table, Rob. Most likely, we're not going to see any real coverage of the gambling controversies. We're not going to see any real objective coverage of him going to Atlantic City during the playoffs. We're not going to see any real objective coverage of, was he asked or told by the league that he needs to bow out for a year and a half? Those things aren't going to be in it. Vinnie Goodwill, we had him on talking about, the whole situation with the Pistons. And, I mean, that should have definitely been in there. That what Jordan said about them the day before the walk-off.
Remember when we had Joe Dumars on, he said, I heard it.
I mean, it was a big part. And it doesn't mean that what the Pistons did was right. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it, because Dumars still shook his hand. Right. So, but you still could have put it in there. What I'd say, though, is this. Even though Ken Burns is ultimately right, I think there's different types of documentaries. And, when you generally watch the Sports Centuries or the 30 for 30s or, a lot of these documentaries, they don't get into some of the more unseemly parts of a player or whoever they're talking about. But it's still an entertaining documentary. And that's how I look at this. Very entertaining. I think it's good for this generation to see. But you just got to know what it is. It's not telling the entire story.
But a documentary is supposed to, so that's why.
But most don't. Let's keep it real. If you go back and look at the SportsCenter on Jim Brown, is it going to get into a lot of the off-the-court stuff? Off the field?
But that's why a lot of those are when they do it, they give you a PG. Is that? Yeah, PG rating. Because they don't include that stuff. And I get what Ken Burns is saying. It would be like doing a documentary on baseball and leaving out that they didn't allow black players in the league. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of washed over that. Like, so I understand what he's saying. And we all knew, Chris, both of us, that with Jordan having control, all those stories we would love to hear about, right, we weren't going to hear about.
Like what Jay Mariotti, his whole column, everything he wanted to see, and I'm sure he knew too, Rob. We talked about him to him last week.
But none of it was in there.
No, and you're right. And it wasn't going to be, you know, it just, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, so, like, you're not shocked, I'm not shocked, right, but I get what Ken Burns is saying. It would be good to go back, and that's why it can't be controlled by Michael Jordan. But if Michael Jordan wasn't in control of it, he wouldn't be a part of it.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And he's not just a part of it. He's the story. That's what it's about.
I don't even know. If Isaiah went on there, and he was on it, and said, right, Jordan did this to me, I know that Michael went to them or whatever, would that be on?
No.
It wouldn't have been
in there. No way. No way. No way, no how, to quote somebody I know.
It's true.
No question about it. And here's the thing, too, though. Because I remember when I was reading about the documentary before it started, you know, before it was aired on ESPN, and it was talking about, we followed the team. You know this, Rob. We followed the team from, you know, for the 1997-98 season. Okay, a team is only going, they're only going to let you either see so much or use so much. I mean, let's keep it real. If Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan had a knockdown, drag out fist fight, you think that's going to be in the documentary? No way.
Only if Michael won. No.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, they had control even then. Like, and I get it. It's human nature. But if I'm controlling a documentary about Chris Broussard, there's certain, I'm controlling it. And I'm going to tell my best story. Leave enough of the controversy in to make you feel like, okay, it was, it was kind of real, but I'm not just telling it like maybe some totally objective person from the outside would.
That's why unauthorized biographies are the best. Do you know what I mean? Where the guy doesn't participate and you get other people to speak freely about what's going on, because most people want to leave out that stuff. But there's room for people to do it. And most of the time, unfortunately, you can't have the person you're doing it on be involved to get the true story, because most people want to shield the flaws and the mistakes and what happened.
Right.
But I don't know. I think if...
But you're enjoying it.
No, I'm enjoying it, but like, I know what it is.
Would it be worth... Because here's the thing, and you and I both agree with Ken Burns, but the alternative is, okay, we don't do it at all. I'd rather have what we have. I'd rather see it, but like you said... Knowing what it is, knowing it's not the story on Michael Jordan, but it's still very good, and I think it's telling a good story.
Yeah, no, that's the way you have to look at it, and that's kind of like what we always talk about, Chris. And me and you were trained to be journalists and all that and went to school for it, but that's why we always talk about when you got players interviewing other players. It's just you're not going to get the whole story, and I'm not knocking people for wanting to do their own thing. But I'm just telling you, when you're listening to that, just you have to realize that they have a relationship, they have a friendship, and a lot of times they're going to leave out the stuff because they already know that Joe Blow won't be on the show if we ask him about that. Do you know what I mean? Going in.
Yep.
So to me as a viewer, I'm frustrated. If you were to bring in somebody and just the late Bill Buckner. You bring in Bill Buckner, and Chris, you decide, we're not going to ask him about the ball going through his legs in the 86 World Series.
Right.
What's the sense of having him on?
We're not doing it.
Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of an extreme version because...
But you know what I mean.
You only want to see Bill Buckner to kind of talk about that because he wasn't, Mickey Mantle or,
But I'm just saying, you can't have a conversation with him without addressing that.
You got to legitimately ask that question.
And we've had, over the course of just radio in general, sometimes people will offer up guests to a radio show and they'll say, but he's not talking about this.
Right.
And right away, Chris or I, or like in years gone by, my other part, we'd be like, no, thank you.
What's the point?
Because we couldn't do it. We can't do it to our listeners. No. Right. He's not talking about what the most important thing people want to hear about. Then we're not interested in having him. I don't care how big the star is.
Rob G just said something in my ear. What?
That exact situation happened earlier this spring with the Tom Brady situation. Remember, we were going to get someone from the Patriots. They're like, well, I can't talk about Tom Brady. Well, then never mind.
Oh, what did we say?
Yeah. I thought you meant we were going to get Tom Brady.
No.
Oh, Rob, what did we say about that?
Right. We said, never mind. Maybe we'll talk to you after he decides that.
Right.
And then we never hit him up after
what?
That.
We can't talk about Tom Brady?
Otherwise, we don't need you. Right.
Right. I think it's like we said, Rob, you just got to know going in what it is. Because they've been great. I love the sports centuries. I knew what they were. You know, they were touting the athlete and maybe not telling the entire story, but it was good for what it was. And I think this is very good for what it is, but you're not going to get, you know, the whole story. It's not going to address the seedy elements that may have been there. But, you know, interesting point by Ken Burns. And, you know, he made a good point. Yeah, he made a very good point.